Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, asking for your help during this Lenten and Easter season. Support from our listeners is vital and allows us to bring you and many others high-quality spiritual programs like the one you are listening to now. It also assists us in our outreach to areas around the globe, touching literally millions of souls via the World Wide Web. Our highly rated free Discerning Hearts app allows you to access over 1,000 audio files as well as video content now available on our expanding YouTube channel. The heart of our mission is to help foster authentic spiritual formation for the seeking soul so they can fully encounter the living Christ and share in His mission of healing hearts and spreading the good news to the world. Please, won't you help us to continue this important work of evangelization by donating today to discerninghearts.com. DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual direction according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He's also the author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, as well as other works focused on aspects of the spiritual life. A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Well, here is Zélie writing in a letter to Pauline this time. And in them, she describes Léonie and as simply uncontrollable, that unless fear was the only thing that would stop her from acting out, otherwise, if you gave her any freedom, any rein at all, the whole house would be in confusion, just impossible. Either that or she would hurt herself in some way, that there just was no peace in the house. Here you get a glimpse of it. At noon, I told her to make some sacrifices to conquer her bad mood, and that for each victory, she should put a hazelnut in a drawer. This was in a drawer I pointed out to her, and we would count them that evening. This was a practice, was about them in living the spiritual life at the time, and it was certainly in the Martin family, where you would make sacrifices or do things for the Lord, and then in some way you would count these. I'm just remembering as I say this that my mom did that with us on occasion. During Lent, she had a practice where each of us would have a glass jar, and then there were just ordinary beans, hard little beans. And every time you did something for someone else in the family or something like that, you could put one in there, and then there'd be some kind of reward, you know, at the end of Lent or something like that. Well, it's that sort of practice here. She was very happy about this, but there were no more hazelnuts. I made her bring me a cork that I cut into 7 little slices. That evening, I asked her how many practices or deeds there were. None. She'd done the worst she could. I wasn't happy and scolded her bitterly, telling her that she certainly shouldn't ask to be a religious under these conditions. Then she started to cry. It must have been just Zélie at her wit's end at this point. It just cannot make sense out of this child, feels helpless. And so she scolds her. This never worked with Léonie. And we'll see, Zélie will discover this. Then she started to cry because she was sincerely repentant, and she flooded my face with her tears. Today there are already little slices of cork in the drawer. Now, and this will give us another insight into Léonie. Same letter to Pauline. So you can see what Zélie is doing. You know, she's staying up at night, she's tired, but she's just sharing the little doings of the family to encourage and just to keep Pauline abreast, and she knows Pauline will love all of this. Now, I must tell you about an adventure that happened to us last night. The maid, this is Louise, who will be returning in the story soon. The maid was in the process, of course, a maid, because with the business and the children, Zélie and her health, Zélie simply couldn't keep up with things. The maid was in the process of drying the dishes. It was already dark, so it's evening, and she was getting ready to cut the bread for the soup when she was interrupted. Léonie, always quick to help her, let's just note that. Léonie, who is always so difficult, is always quick to help the maid. took hold of the bread and sliced it. Finally, here is the soup ready to serve, with the soup poured over the bread. It was a puree of pea soup, which Marie likes a lot. She said, Papa's had a grand dinner at Monsieur Vital's house, who is a good friend of his, member of a Catholic circle in Alençon, but he won't have soup as good as this. We all sat down to the table. I began to serve the soup, but I couldn't push the spoon in. I felt a tremendous resistance. I said to Louise, what have you put in here? I can't find any bread. Are there only vegetables on the bottom of the soup tureen? Finally, I tried to pull up whatever was blocking the spoon, and after many tries, I pulled up, and she has three little dots, the dish towel. Léonie had cut the bread over it without noticing it, so she'd put the dish towel together with the bread into the soup. So that's Léonie, you know, heart of gold, but something gauche, something that doesn't work out for her, and this will be a pattern so often for her. The soup wasn't eaten, but on the other hand, we had a good laugh. Your father said it was like the little shoe of the man from Auvergne. It's not that dirty, it's that it takes up space. You know the song. Marie, now look at this. Marie didn't want me to tell you this. Last night I heard her say, I'm sure Mama is going to tell Pauline, and the teachers will know I'm ashamed of it. Which is a little insight into what it was like to be the sister of Léonie, who would do these things that would make you cringe with embarrassment. And then Marie, to think that all the teachers and the nuns back at the boarding school are all going to learn about this. She's just embarrassed and ashamed of this whole thing. Zélie says, I answered, I'll tell her all the same. They can laugh about it if they want. The conclusion of this same letter. Goodbye, my Pauline. If your letter hasn't been sent, all the better, because I would very much like a few words for Léonie. I would like her aunt to write something to Léonie. This poor child went to the instructions at the retreat every morning at 6 o'clock. So this is in the morning. And there's a retreat. I'm not sure. Maybe this is in preparation for that second solemn communion, but something along these lines. She went to the instructions at the retreat every morning at 6 o'clock. She was very afraid of failing. I didn't want to wake her up so early, but she woke up on her own. Once she didn't have time to put on her shoes, and without anyone noticing, she went wearing some kind of worn-out slippers. Fortunately, it was dark out, but she was strongly scolded, and I told her she wouldn't do that again. I kiss you with all my heart. So there's Léonie again, just embarrassing, just unaware that she's, you know, just doing things that are going to appear odd to others.
Very eccentric. You know, and the thing is, those are the kind of shoes, if you can picture it, and I'm sure people have seen that, they're the kind that go up more past the ankle, near the calf, that have to be laced up. So it would have taken time to put your foot in the shoe. So it's not like slipping on a shoe and running out the door. You'd have to do some work. And she was so nervous, or focused, or just wanted to get out there. She didn't think of the social ramifications. She had shoes on. She had something covering her feet. So she ran out the door.
It may be that she just woke up a little later than usual, too, and had to scramble. Who knows? Yeah. Any of those situations.
Yeah.
All right. 2 months later to Pauline. And this is a lovely letter, which in a different context, it'd be nice to go through entirely. Zélie's aware that she doesn't know for certain yet, but she's almost looking back over her married life and describing it to Pauline. And she, at this point, she's talking about when they started having the children. But when we had our children, our ideas, her and her husband's, about their marriage, our ideas changed somewhat. We lived only for them. She says in another letter that I was born to have children. They were all our happiness, and we never found any except in them. In short, nothing was too difficult, and the world was no longer a burden to us. For me, our children were a great compensation, so I wanted to have a lot of them in order to raise them for heaven. And it's hard to doubt that the 9 of their children are in eternal life. Mm-hmm. 4 of them are already in a better place. So those are the 2 boys and the 2 girls who died at an early age. The others, yes, the others will go there as well, to the heavenly kingdom, laden with more merits, since they will have fought much longer. It's only Leonie who's still a very heavy cross to bear. May her dear aunt obtain for me a change in my poor child. I'm always hoping for it. This evening she came to ask me if she could see her aunt's mementos. Celine and Therese looked at them at the same time and kissed them. At this point, we reach what I think can fairly be called the pivotal moment in the life of Leonie. And this is a letter that's written a week after that we just read from, and it's to her sister-in-law. I think that my sister, her aunt, Leonie's aunt, has obtained a great grace for me. So what happens at this point in Zélie's mind is very clearly linked to the fact that her aunt, who just a few weeks earlier died and is clearly in her mind with the Lord, what happens here, she will always understand, and Leonie will too, as a grace gained through the intercession of Leonie's aunt. I think my sister has obtained a great grace for me. You know that I wasn't able to have any influence over Leonie. She ran away from me, and this was so differently than any of the other children. I'd tried everything and nothing worked. She was fascinated by the maid. All right, so this is where this Louise Marais comes into the story. Louise had been there. She was, I think, about 12 years with the family as a maid, and she would stay until Zélie's death. I tried everything, nothing worked. She was fascinated by the maid. So the maid had some kind of sway over Leonie, who nevertheless made her very unhappy without my realizing it. So this whole dynamic that's been playing out and that she's just discovering now has been going on, and for several years, Zélie just was not completely unaware of it. Marie is the one who discovered everything and told me about it. Now, this is really a moment in which Marie shines. She sees what nobody else sees. I've suffered a lot, I assure you, not understanding this child's very strange behavior. Consequently, I didn't think there was any need for me to live. Aware that she's perhaps close to death, there's no longer any need for me to stay here because I really can't do anything more for Leonie. I've tried and tried and tried, and she simply flees from me. Consequently, I didn't think there was any need for me to live, not being able to be helpful to her at all. But since Saturday, everything has changed, and in such a way I'd never hoped for, and I can't get over it. I don't have time to give you a lot of details, but all I can tell you is that she doesn't want to leave me. I'm taking care of her exclusively, as is Marie. The other, that is Louise, the maid. The other one has lost her influence forever. I can do as I please with Leonie. Before, I couldn't persuade her to get dressed to go out, but yesterday and today she put on an outfit to come with me and wants to follow me everywhere. She was sorry this morning because she didn't have enough time with me and is asking me when this letter is going to be finished so she can talk to me and sit by my side. Now, in the next letter we'll look at, we'll get the key as to what's going on here. I received your good letter, which I was awaiting impatiently. So I see there's no hope for me as far as the doctor goes. So through her brother, who is the pharmacist and doctors that he knows, she's been asking for medical advice. And at this point, it's clear that she's not going to recover from this cancer. But yet I want to live. Okay, before she was ready to go, but now everything's changed. But yet I want to live, especially now, to begin to raise my Leonie. Yet I have hope that our Blessed Mother will cure me, but I still want to go on a pilgrimage. And in fact, she will make a pilgrimage with the three oldest girls to Lourdes, seeking cure. All right, this is a letter written on the same day, and this time to Pauline. I believe I've obtained a great grace through the prayers of your aunt. I've commended my poor Leonie to her so many times since her entrance into heaven, and I believe I'm feeling the effects of it. You know what your sister was like, a spirit of insubordination. In other words, something's changing now. Never wanting to obey me except by force, acting defiantly, doing the complete opposite of what I'd wanted. And this is what Zélie simply could not understand. Doing the exact opposite of what I wanted, even when she would have wanted to do it. And finally, obeying only the maid. I'd tried everything in my power to draw her to me. It had all failed until today, and watch what follows. And that was the greatest sorrow I'd ever had in my life. This inability to win the heart of this difficult daughter, she describes as the greatest sorrow I'd ever had in my life. Since your aunt died, I've begged her to return this poor child's heart to me, and Sunday morning my prayer was answered. Now I have her heart as completely as possible. She doesn't want to leave me for a moment. She hugs me to the point of suffocating me, does everything I tell her without arguing, and works by my side all day long. The maid completely lost her authority, and it's certain that she'll never again have any influence over Léonie by the way in which things happened. She found it a severe blow, and she cried and moaned when I told her to leave immediately and that I wanted her out of my sight. Now, we still don't yet have the full explanation. I'm just going to let the letters unfold this. But it's clear that the maid, Louise, has had a very harmful influence on Léonie. And the moment that Léonie is now free from that, everything blossoms in her and her relationship with her mother. I'm going to wait some time before I make her leave because she's begged me so much to stay. In fact, the various maids who Zélie had over the years, they all loved Zélie. None of them wanted to leave because she treated them like family and was so good to them. I'm going to wait some time before I make her leave because she begged me so much to stay. In fact, Zélie will forbid her to say even a word to Léonie, to have nothing to do with Léonie, but will allow her to stay as long as she, Zélie, is alive. And Léonie in later years would write that she was always grateful to Louise, the maid, for the loving care that she took of Zélie in Zélie's last months. Now I treat this child with so much gentleness that I hope to succeed, and this is what always works with her, little by little and correcting her faults. Yesterday she came with me to go for a walk, and we went to the monastery of the Poor Clares. That's the monastery I mentioned earlier. She whispered to me, "Mama, ask the cloistered sisters to pray for me so that I become a nun. Finally, all is well, and let's hope this continues." My dear Pauline, since you're so favored by your aunt, pray to her that she cure me of my illness, which you know about. I want now more than ever to stay with you. It's more necessary for Léonie than for the little ones.
Oh.
She, knowing now that Léonie can be changed and needs a mother's love, now in a whole new way, she longs, as we'll see, at least for some more years of life, because she knows this will not be a quick process with Léonie, but she now knows that it can happen. 10 days later to Pauline, "I didn't have the courage to give the maid all the messages that were in your letter." So Pauline obviously had some pretty sharp things to say to the maid now that she's realized what the maid was doing. "I don't at all profess to be as sympathetic to her as you are, especially recently. I know she's devoted and attached to us in her own way, but I'm not happy with her violent nature." Now, here I'll interject from that memoir that Marie wrote in later years, her description of Louise, the maid, and what was going on. So she says, "Later we had a maid who had the unhappy talent of freezing with just a glance my three little sisters," so Pauline, Léonie, and then Hélène. No one could ever get away with that kind of thing with Marie. She just would never permit that. She was strong in that way. "I was the only one she didn't catch in her net. I saw that poor little Hélène, this sweet, lovely little girl, was very sad when she happened to get a spot on her stockings or on her apron. She didn't dare to play for fear of having that happen and then being scolded by Louise. I did it on purpose to show her I wasn't afraid of her. And when she reproached me, I answered back immediately, 'I'm free, I am.' She nicknamed me, 'I'm free, I am.' And it was she who was afraid of me." Interesting is, the more you get into the family, each of these five surviving sisters had a very different character. "Since I'm on the chapter about Louise, I will say that that poor girl made my two little sisters, Léonie and Hélène, very unhappy. She did love very much little Hélène, who was ravishing and had the sweetness of an angel. But as Louise was lacking in judgment, she didn't see that she was terrorizing the poor child." And that word is not too strong. Léonie, toward the end of her life, maybe we'll later read some of these letters, reflects back on these days and speaks of Louise as her torturer, which is the exact translation of the words she uses. Essentially, what Louise did was this. She saw this girl that nobody could discipline. Parents, no one, they were all helpless, and she decided that she was going to be the one to take charge. And so she began literally terrorizing Léonie, forcing her to obey her. And if she didn't, she would physically and emotionally, she'd be hit, struck, yelled at. And Louise told her that, "I'm the one that you are to obey and not your mother. If your mother asked you to do something, you go ahead and do it, but you're going to pay a price for it afterwards." And this was why Léonie would not obey her mother, because she knew she would suffer for it later. And this is why she was always helping Louise.
Oh.
So she was literally terrorized during, and this went on for several years. So today we would speak of physical and emotional abuse. She was, in this sense, very much, she was an abused child in addition to everything else. Now, there's a lot of writing on, you know, why Louise did this. There was a goodness in Louise, but there's another side that you see Marie describing that could be cold and harsh and domineering. Louise was not educated. Her judgment was poor. So she stepped in and she was solving a problem in her mind, but she really made Léonie suffer. And of course, Zélie, you know, as a result. And this went on for some years, and Zélie has no idea that any of this is happening. She notices, of course, both things, that Léonie is very resistant to her, and that Léonie is always hanging around the maid, working with the maid when the other children are out playing, and Zélie can't get her to go out and play and so on. Now she understands. What happens is Marie hears enough. She just hears some conversation going on between Louise and Léonie and gets a sense something isn't right here. And she begins looking into it, and she uncovers what's happening, and she tells Zélie. And this is when everything changes.
Father Gallagher, if we could, too, for those who are listening, to kind of set the stage. You know, there might be some out there who will say, well, why didn't Zélie see this? Their home was also a place of work. There was a lot of activity happening. And I would imagine the maid is not just a maid, but also a child care giver. And so there probably wasn't the type of oversight you would have anticipated if you were in a modern day home. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And Marie, during those years as this was growing, she wasn't there. She was at school. So it wasn't until she was able to come home and began to interact with the girls, while Zélie still is continuing to work, plus she's dealing with all of the physical ailments that's coming from having breast cancer, right, and not being able to have it treated as we understand breast cancer treatment is cared for today. So there's whole dynamic happening in this household. But having said all that, as you said, Léonie is experiencing his child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
In a very real way by this particular caregiver, especially if she does have a degree of some type of disability.
Yes. And in addition to this, there was no reason to suspect Louise of anything. She'd been with the family for years. Zélie loved her. She had her limitations and so on, but there was every reason to trust her. There'd been no other complaints about her as she'd interacted with the children over the years. And as I guess is often true in these cases, she was very able in sending the message to these young girls that if you let any of this leak out, you are really going to pay for it.
Yeah, they call that grooming. The grooming behavior, even back in the late 1800s. Sad to say. But then again, here is the story of that it seems long ago, and yet it touches on the experience of many people. I mean, different aspects of it. This is not an unheard of story.
No. And it certainly had its impact on holding back the goodness of heart that was in Léonie, you know, in a very real way. Well, let's complete Marie's comments on Louise. She did very much love little Helene, who was ravishing and had the sweetness of an angel. Okay, but as Louise was lacking in judgment, she didn't see that she was terrorizing that poor child and really hurting her. Mama saw this one day and said to her, "But it seems to me that you are making these children unhappy. I forbid you to scold them for nothings like you do." Then, seeing that the two little ones were always around her and seemed to love her, this poor little mama trusted Louise. So that's Marie's comments on what's happening. All right, let's pick up with the letter to Pauline. "I know that she," that is Louise, "is devoted and attached to us in her own way, but I'm not happy with her violent nature. I won't be sorry to see her go, especially since I discovered what she'd put Leonie through. That, you see, I'll never forget. I could never have believed that one could have done for so long and so coldly the things she did to a poor creature who didn't dare complain for, quote, fear of getting it twice as bad, as she, Leonie, now admits. And would you believe this girl claims that she was being a great help to me? Maybe in her own mind she thought she was, thinking that she was very clever to have been able to control your sister, who, in her opinion, no one else was able to tame." And then Zélie comments, "But brutality never converted anyone, and certainly never Leonie. It only makes slaves of people, and that's what happened to this poor child. I'm still convinced that it's your aunt who's responsible for this being discovered. Now, Leonie doesn't leave me for a minute." That's, I think you can see where I speak of this as the pivotal moment in her life. "She goes everywhere with me, showing a happy face. She no longer puts up any resistance to me. On the contrary, she anticipates everything that would please me and doesn't wait for my instructions. I didn't know why she never wanted to take a minute of playtime. When a meal was finished, she would clear the table, put the room in order, and in short, do the servant's work. I was tired of saying to her, 'Go outside and play in the garden. I don't want to see you here,' while everyone else is enjoying themselves. She would say to me grudgingly, 'I want to stay here.' I've since learned that the maid had said to her, 'If your mother tells you to go play, go, but you know that afterward you're going to pay.' You see, all of that outrages me to a point I can't express." Now Leonie plays with the joy of a four-year-old, so this is an enormous liberation for Leonie. "She makes a little too much noise and isn't quiet enough." That's Leonie. "And I have to calm her down, but she tries very hard. Let's hope that little by little she'll change completely with God's help. That's why now I have a desire to live that I never knew until today. My child needs me very much. After I die, she'll be too miserable, and no one will be able to make her obey, except the one who made her suffer so much. But no, this won't be, because when I'm dead, she'll have to leave right away." In fact, Zélie made this as a firm condition, and it was observed. She allowed Louise to stay because Louise begged so much as long as she, Zélie, was alive, and Zélie could watch over her behavior. But as soon as Zélie herself was no longer there, she insisted that Louise leave, which in point of fact is what happened.
Good.
Interestingly enough, Louise later married, raised a family. She asked for forgiveness. Leonie did forgive her. We'll probably read that letter later on toward the end of her life. It's a lovely letter. And she was actually one of those who was a witness in the cause of canonization of Thérèse. You know, so her testimony is there with the others. "But no, this won't be, because when I'm dead, she'll have to leave right away. I don't think they'll refuse to carry out my last wishes," which they didn't. "But I trust in God. I'm asking him now for the grace to let me live. I know very well that he won't take my illness away and my dying, but I ask that he grant me enough time so that Leonie won't need me anymore."
I just have to say, you know, how good God is in that Leonie will have these memories of her mother in these last days. It may not have been a long time, but they had some time, and she will have some memories. And for Zélie, I mean, it's so poignant. I mean, it just doesn't, it's hard pressed to get more poignant than this moment.
It really is. Yes, her sister dies in February, and Zélie will die in August. So, you know, what is that, about 7 months or something like that? But those months were really important for Zélie and for Leonie for the rest of her life. the relationship that would have been there much earlier had it not been for the maid was finally able to be established. And that was really key in Léonie's life.
And I would say that must have been an important moment for those sisters, for Marie and Pauline, particularly because they were old enough to be aware of what's happening, but also maybe for the younger ones. But for those two older sisters to be able to look at their sister, Léonie, and know that it wasn't that she was willfully or even out of ignorance being cruel to their mother, and that she wasn't, you know, in those last years that you didn't treat mama well. For those girls, especially for Marie, to have been the advocate for change, I mean, in which part of that, picking that all up, including those heavenly intercession of her aunt, for them to have that understanding of what happened, I think that was important for the whole family to heal, so there wasn't that resentment and bitterness towards her.
Sure. You know, I think I quoted earlier the phrase of one commentator that Léonie's life is the victory of a family. And you can see it, the aunt, of course, her parents, her sisters, even her other aunt and her uncle Isidore, all of that. This is really very much the love of a family. Léonie could not have done it without her family, and they supported her all the way to the end of her life. So we'll be seeing some of this later on.
The aunts and uncles, all of them needed to know this part of her story. It truly was a reconciliation. I mean, it's that depth of understanding of what was going on so that there would not be this bitterness towards her after Zélie's death.
Oh, well, that's something that we'll be seeing. Not only was there no division or bitterness amongst the five sisters, but there was never, remarkably, in Léonie, there is never the slightest bit of jealousy toward her sisters. She loves them all with great affection, and the sisters all love her. It's all four of them, including Thérèse. The love between these sisters is one of the really beautiful things, many beautiful things in this certainly humanly painful story. But one of them is the depth and the warmth of the affection and love of these five sisters amongst themselves. And it made all the difference in Léonie's life. But it was a huge source of strength for all of them. But we'll be seeing some of that directly later on when we look at some of the letters.
And I just have to interject, probably also the prayers of another little sister, Elena, who was trying, along with her aunt, praying so hard for that Léonie.
Well, that's one way of looking at the life of Léonie. She owes her physical survival to the prayers of her aunt, who makes that novena to then Blessed Margaret Mary Alacoque. She owes what she calls her conversion at age 14, what we're exploring right now, again, to the intercession of her aunt, because it takes place within weeks of her aunt's death and entrance, please God, into eternal life. And I don't want to anticipate too much, but if she was able to live religious life, she owes that to Thérèse, because this happened shortly after Thérèse's death, and Thérèse also said that she would be taking this intention before the Lord. And Léonie is very well aware of this, you know, how she owes these pivotal points in her life, how she owes them to the grace of other saintly members in the family. That's a beautiful story.
It's humility.
Yeah.
Isn't that a classic example of that knowledge, that understanding? That's a humble knowledge, isn't it? Well, Father Gallagher, thank you so much. I cannot wait for the rest of the story. Thank you.
We'll pick this up next time.
You've been listening to A Sister of St. Thérèse, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it on the Discerning Hearts free app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and join us next time for A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Leonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.